dealing with people that are embracing the opportunity of second chance. And we're doing it in a way where you can laugh and cry and also go, you know what? It makes me feel like the things that I didn't do, I can go and do.
That was Kevin Hart talking about his latest film, a comedy with Tiffany Haddish called Night School, which, guess what, folks? They didn't screen it for us. They don't want critics to see it. I'm Neil Rose.
I wish I could act surprised.
Joined, as always, by Bill Bregoli.
I didn't see it either.
And Bill McCuddy.
We watch the bad movies so you don't have to, and apparently this is one of them,
and
perhaps.
We can't watch this movie because they won't let us watch this movie, which is a real indication to you if Universal, which is the company that's releasing this movie, or any studio, which is common practice, if they're not showing it to critics, they don't want to show it to critics. But, you know, is this the kind of movie that...
It's critic proof. No, it's critic proof. I guess. Yeah, I guess. Well, we can hope that people still listen to us, but we probably don't have that luxury. The thing here is that Kevin Hart can do whatever he wants. He's, you know, one of the biggest in Madison Square Garden, sells out
multiple nights in a row.
He's kind of like the new Will Smith in terms of he can name his own projects. He can do whatever he wants to do, and this thing that they're not showing us doesn't surprise me, because even though he produced it and maybe ad-libbed some of the scenes, doesn't look great.
No, it doesn't.
And she's the new hot thing.
Yeah,
I don't understand her completely ever since she announced the Oscars last year and got everybody's name wrong. Like, everybody thinks that's hilarious.
Well, you want me to explain her to you? Here's what happened. She went on Jimmy Kimmel and she killed. She did a thing that went viral. She told the story about how when she was filming Girl Trip. And she talks about how she did a Groupon thing with she was going to look at the tour of the alligator.
They went to Alligator Alley or something.
Alligator Swamps or something. And Jada Pinkett Smith said, "Oh, I'll go with you." And she thought that she knew what Groupon was, Jada Pinkett Smith. She's like, "Oh, I thought it was like, you got a group coming on, you know what I mean?"
Right.
And Will Smith shows up, and it was hilarious. It was a hilarious, hilarious story. And then I watched her stand-up. She had a Showtime special, and this was part of her act. But she did it so flawlessly.
She's funny.
She did it so flawlessly on the couch.
Just say she's funny.
With Kimmel, that it didn't seem like she was doing it. It seemed like she was just
telling
a story.
Right, it didn't seem like a bit,
really
thought she was telling a story.
Comedy.
Right.
So that killed so much.
Right.
And, you know...
So she's the hot thing right now.
Yeah, and I don't know. Do you think she was a standout in Girl Trip? I mean, do you think that if you see that...
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, I mean, I didn't love that movie,
she
but...
She became, very sought after by Hollywood, and she developed a fan base, and good for her. And that's what, you know, I think she's funny, and, you know, good for her. So now she's in a whole bunch of stuff.
We'll see. It's the honeymoon period.
She's coming up with a Tyler... She's coming out in a couple of weeks with a Tyler... next month with a Tyler Perry movie. Early November, actually, called...
Yeah, that's always a sign of quality.
Called, what's it called, Bill?
I don't know.
Noken, but he's helping me out here. All right, well, she's coming out with an...
We do this every week. We're not sure what anything is, and we're proud of it.
And there you go.
So that's opening.
Okay, so let me tell you about a movie that's opening this Friday that I have seen. And it is called All About Nina. And I have been waiting months to tell you all about this film because I saw it at the Tribeca Film Festival back in April. And it blew me away.
No one likes a bragger.
It was at the time, I said, the best movie that I've seen all year up to that point. And here we are at the end of September, almost October, and I still stand to that same exact quote. It is the best film I have seen to date.
Our colleague Lisa Rossman never agrees with you, and she liked it too. So
yes, I
really want to see it, but I have to tell you honestly, and I will say this to anyone listening to this podcast now who will immediately, well, not immediately, please wait till the end of the podcast, go to YouTube and watch the trailer. The trailer is really kind of...
Forget the trailer. I saw this movie. Okay. It was the premiere. It was the world premiere, to my knowledge, at
Tribeca.
So
tell us, this is what you
do.
This is what you do every week. When people start talking about a movie, you go, "Well, why don't you tell us about it?" So why don't you tell us about it?
Well, Bill Bregoli, you're interested in hearing about it,
No, I'm not. And I'll tell you why. Because this is like the umpteenth movie about someone trying to be a comedian.
Okay.
It is about stand-up, which I'm very close to.
Don't judge a book by its cover. Don't judge a movie by its trailer. This is a phenomenal film. I will tell you what it's about.
Better than any of the Jenny Slate movies where she...
Way better.
Which you love. You loved
because
the
this
one...
is not a movie about stand-up comedy.
Okay.
This is a movie that's set in the stand-up comedy world. Mary Elizabeth...
Winstead.
Winstead, thank you. Mary Elizabeth Winstead is a fucking mess. Okay, she's a sexaholic. She's an alcoholic.
I like her already.
She performs stand-up comedy in clubs in New York City, and she has a following. But she's a mess. She's having an affair with a married guy. This is the beginning of the movie, played by Chase Crawford, who you might remember from Gossip Girl if you watched that show, which my daughter used to subject me to every
Bonus
week.
Points if you don't remember him from that.
And he's physically abusive, and she just gets the hell out of New York. And she moves to Los Angeles, and she has an audition for a SNL type of show that not live.
Seen this before Mike Birbiglia's movie.
Let me finish. So she has an audition to do this type of SNL type show that they do in this fictional show that's supposed to be like SNL.
I thought it was an hour-long special.
That they're doing, no, in LA.
Well, that's what the trailer says.
No, she's going to be like, she has an audition to be a regular cast member in this particular show. So she's working LA comedy clubs, and she meets Common, the rapper Common.
Right.
And he's completely messed up. And they have, well, they have, let's say, I'm not going to tell you, they have some sort of friendship type of relationship. I don't want to tell you where that goes.
As good as Annie Hall messed up? Like, as good as Diane Keaton's messed up and Woody Allen's messed up and they like each other?
No, this is like, they've both got problems. They're both messed up. But
should be in a 12-step program messed up?
Well, she should be in a 12-step program messed up. But he's got other kind of issues, other problems. And it's kind of the story of her. Set in...
Well, it is all about Nina.
It's all about Nina. I mean, it's set in the stand-up comedy world, and that's certainly an element of this. Jay Moore is in it. He's one of the comics in the club.
Right.
But it's not a look at the...
You're fired, Jerry Maguire.
It's not a look at the stand-up comedy world. You see the stand-up comedy world, but it is about this woman who's completely messed up and how she kind of finds salvation to some extent with this other person who's messed up, and they form a relationship and try to help each other through their
So tell
issues.
People who Mary Elizabeth Winstead is who don't know. Like, she was in...
Yeah, go ahead, Bill.
Well, you know, one of my favorite movies that we always disagree on that I think is amazing is Scott Pilgrim. So she's in that.
She's in a ton of movies.
Well,
she's brilliant in this, and she deserves an Oscar. Not just an Oscar nomination.
She broke up the household of, what's his name, the comic.
She's dating Ewan McGregor.
Who you always mispronounce,
Ewan McGregor, but it's Ewan McGregor,
yeah,
to my knowledge. But she...
His kids don't like her.
This performance,
according to Page Six,
is unbelievable. And the sad thing is, it's being distributed by a small company called The Orchard,
which fucks everything up.
Which won't sponsor us now that I said that. No, I'm just saying. I wish it was being distributed by, you know, I don't know, Warner Brothers.
So
or
let me ask you a question:
Is it as good of a movie as our friend who
listens to this podcast and loves it and in my opinion does great movies about stand-up, which is Judd Apatow? Is it a Judd Apatow movie? Because we always say Funny People is the best movie about stand-up.
Yeah, it is.
So this is better?
This is
about stand-up?
This isn't, it's not a comedy
right.
movie.
It's not
a Judd Apatow comedy. It's funny. This funny, certainly, it's darkly funny. This is dark comic stuff. I mean, when you see her on stage doing her... By the way, I went to the after party after the premiere Tribeca, and I was talking to her, and I'm saying, "You're so natural up there doing stand up comedy. Did you work out and do this kind of stuff?" And she's like, "No, she doesn't want to do stand." You know,
what's that exactly like? Exactly. Your favorite Amazon show?
Mrs. Maisel?
Yeah, Rachel Brosnahan. She didn't do stand up.
So I guess if you're a great actress, you can play a stand up comic.
Which stand ups hate, by the way.
Yeah, they want to do it. But a stand-up comic, unless they were a brilliant actor, could not deliver what Mary Elizabeth Winstead delivers in this movie.
Is her act good? It's just her act, her stand-up
yeah,
act?
It's
you
good.
Go, I'd go see that person?
Yeah, it's good. But I'm telling you, it's not a movie that's like, let's peek behind the curtain and give you a view of the stand-up comedy world. This is a movie, a darkly comedic look at... Well, it's all about Nina, about this woman named Nina and her life.
Another movie you've seen that's the most similar to it? about a woman's life that is based in a, it doesn't have to be stand up, but is based in some other world that you went, wow, I this woman is amazing.
God, I don't know.
This stumped Neil moment is brought to you by LaCroix,
Diary
the delicious
of a Mad Housewife with Carrie Snodgrass.
Oh, really?
I don't know.
All right.
I don't know. Right. You know, I you're putting me on the spot. I'm trying to think of a movie.
Well, it's my favorite thing.
This is great. The director
top 10 list this year.
Top 10 list. So far, this is number one on my top 10 list.
Really?
I'm telling you, it's the you didn't. Now, who's not listening? It is the best movie I have seen
Wait,
so far.
What'd you say? I'm not sure.
Okay. It is a great film.
All right.
You know,
All right.
Female director Eva directed this. I tweeted her.
Tell me about your conversations with her at this
Eva
after
Vivis.
Party.
She's great. It's kind of semi autobiographical about her. Apparently, you know, and
about the director,
the writer director,
who writer director.
Yeah.
All right.
I could not. I mean, if you've been following this podcast for all the years that we've been doing this, if you watch us on TV, I am.
Bless you, by the way, if you're one of those people.
How often am I
one of the three people?
How often am I this strongly positive on a movie?
It's a little frightening, actually.
So I am. So the thing, my disadvantage here is that neither one of you have seen the movie. And I'm feeling that if you had seen the movie, Bill, you would say to me, you know, you're right, Neil. This
no,
is an
incredible. No,
and you're a stand-up comic.
What you've done in the last 3 minutes has convinced me that I never want to see this movie. No, I'll see it. It sounds good. I mean, I love Mary Elizabeth Winstead. I think she's great.
Common's really good.
Lisa Rossman called her the best actress of this generation, which I don't quite agree
and
with.
And the reason that we know this from Lisa Rossman is we taped our holiday movie preview television
Hashtag shameless plug
movie show, which will be on in November with Lisa Rossman, Bill McCuddy, and me, Neil Rosen. And we'll talk about that more when we get to that. But anyway, the movie's called All About Nina, opens this Friday in theaters. I think she deserves an Oscar, just a nomination. I haven't seen a performance like this in years. Watch it, and then you come back to me and you tell me what you think. You know?
We will. And anyone listening, please jump in and comment when you see it this weekend.
And I don't think that anybody will disagree with me.
What
I
else
really
is opening?
Don't.
Well, we have something I saw called The Hate U Give, opening actually next week, but we'll be off doing something else next week, so I can talk about that.
Please.
Stars Amanda Stenberg.
Now, how do we know her?
You see the Hunger Games movies?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Remember
I've
the
seen
little...
those.
Is she the greatest actress of our time?
You know what? She does a pretty damn good job in this. Let me tell you what it's about.
Tell us about it, Bill.
All right. It's based on a YA, as the people in the book business call a young adult novel called The Hate U Give. And it's about a young African-American woman living in a not-so-great neighborhood just outside of Los Angeles. And her parents decide that, or particularly her mother, says, you're not going to be stuck in this neighborhood. We're going to move, and I'm sending you to a white school. So rather than go to the...
I've seen the trailer to this.
Right, yeah, rather than go to the local school...
And she wears a uniform and, like,
get
she's...
pregnant.
Yeah.
And she has a white boyfriend, and she has a lot of white friends, and...
Why do they want to send her there?
Because she lives in a bad neighborhood, and the local
she'll get a better education.
School. Okay, so it's the higher quality of education at this particular school.
That's right.
Okay.
Because the public school is as she says in the movie in the trailer, public school is where you go to get beat up or pregnant.
Right.
Okay.
So she's at this white school. So she says that basically she has a split personality.
You're right. She still has these friends back in the hood that are like, you're a turncoat.
I like this premise.
You fucked us. You're going to this other school.
You're going to this white school.
I love
this
premise.
This sounds good.
It executed properly.
Then she's back home with her homies, and she's at a party. Gunshots ring out. There's a fight, and her friend says, let's get out of here. They go in his car. They're riding through the neighborhood, and they get pulled over by the police. He's shot by a police officer, and she's the only witness. Now, she's afraid to tell her friends in the white school because she thinks they're going to look down on her as somebody who's all
they're
messed up because she lives in the hood.
What kind of school is this?
Well, it's a snooty private school.
Look down on her.
Say, hey.
As people who listen to this podcast know, Neil only hears half of every sentence.
And she's afraid to tell the people in her neighborhood that she's a witness. And
so her father, like, tries to tell her to do the right thing, right? Or somebody...
Her
somebody,
mother tries to tell... Everybody tries to tell her to do the right
thing,
but they all have a different idea.
So she can testify against this cop.
Right, at a grand jury hearing.
Right, right.
But there are, now her friend who was killed was a drug dealer, and for the local gang, and the gang doesn't want her to testify.
Right.
So
wow.
So it's heavy.
The stakes are high.
Things start off really light for like the first half hour.
So is it, would you say it was comedic for the first half an hour?
It's fun. It's light. It's nice. There are some light moments even when things get heavy, which is always a good thing.
A straight up drama. Or
yeah, somebody gets killed, Neil, just to remind you.
Yeah, it's a straight up drama.
Straight up
by the end of it. But there are lots of stuff about race, but well done because it shows different sides. It's really a surprisingly good movie. Who directed it? George Tillman Jr.
He's good. I have no idea who that is. All right.
But Amela, this is going to be a big star turn for her.
Do you think it's got any kind of award potential?
Yeah, it actually does.
It, at the Independent Spirit level or at the Oscar level? Or
Oscar level for Amela.
Really?
Yeah.
Really?
Maybe screenplay or adapted screenplay. This is the kind of thing you could get adapted screenplay. It plays
Who's
really
releasing
well.
This? What studio is releasing this?
Our good friends at Fox.
Okay, so they'll put...
Still in my 401k, so I want this movie to fucking rock and roll.
So there will be some money put behind this.
Oh, yeah, there'll be... yeah, in fact, enough money that Bill gets to go to a party for it soon.
Thank you, yes. I'm going Saturday to it. I'm going to bring Lily.
Yeah, hey, I think Lily's going
to... Something that slipped under the... we didn't see, but
Radar,
I went with the family to... which was good. It was called A Simple Favor. The thing with
Anna
Kendrick.
Yes, your wife, since you were 45 minutes late to do this podcast today, Bill, your wife and I were talking about the fact that
I was at an Academy party that you weren't invited to, which is so unusual.
Invited to all the parties. Poor me, I don't know. But anyway, the point is your wife was saying that you all went to see the Blake Lively
Anna Kendrick film.
Movie. So tell us about it and tell us what you thought about it.
So,
did you see it, by the way, Bill Bergoglio?
A Simple Favor is in, and by the way, we have a special guest joining us today. He's
very quiet one.
He's been listening patiently. He's a celebrated author. His name is Aaron Sigmund, and he's written many books, including some celebrity books, including Drive Time, which is all about all the watches that
with
famous
Jay
people.
Mm-hmm.
With Jay Leno, who wrote the foreword, talks about the Paul Newman and the Steve McQueen and all those famous watches that people wear. And then a new book that's coming out for Father's Day called Sea Time that I want to give
right,
a little plug
sequel.
To.
Mm-hmm.
James Cameron is in that book because he's a huge diver, and this is all about watches that that famous people who go in the water wear.
Can we go back to Scott Pilgrim? You know, you and I share that in common. I love that film.
It makes my top 20.
It's so fresh. It's so original. I've seen it several times. She's fantastic in it.
Okay, I'm not even going to respond to this. I'm going to have Bill McCuddy.
You've just been voted off podcast.
I'm going to have Bill McCuddy tell you my opinion on that particular movie.
That was his worst movie. Was that your worst movie of the year?
I think it
on
was.
His worst 10, yeah. 10 worst,
I hate
it was.
That movie. I don't dislike the movie. That's putting it
You don't think it's clever? I mean, just clever.
I hate the movie. I'm sorry.
Hate strong.
Should we leave now, Sig?
I'm good.
Aaron Sigmund, by the way, if I didn't say his name. Sorry.
A-list sponsors now
and she was good market. In the Lincoln vampire film.
You're the one person that saw that.
You know,
Abe Lincoln, Vampire Slayer, or whatever.
You got vampires and Abraham Lincoln. I just don't see the downside of that.
It's called Abraham Lincoln, Vampire Slayer.
That was it, yes.
I know.
Yeah. I think she was Mary Todd in that, as a matter of fact.
I wouldn't have expected anyone else.
Sure,
so,
why not?
Back to A Simple Favor.
Right. Yeah. So Anna Kendrick, who is, by the way, she owns this movie.
She's great.
She's great. By the way, a quick shout out to the last 5 years that Richard LeGravenas did that I think is amazing, that no one saw. That's a musical that is so much better, not better, but in the same league as La La Land. If you love La La Land, A Simple Favor is these moms that have kids in common.
Well, they're not uncommon. They go to the same school.
They go to the same school.
Well, I didn't see the movie, and I can.
They're not moms of the same children.
No.
Right.
So
Anna Kendrick is a mom who strikes up a friendship with another mom, played by Blake Lively.
Right.
And
really Blake Lively
friends,
is this hot,
Lively
like cool, interesting
disappears.
Woman. And Anna Kendrick has this little V blog where she talks about how to cook, and all of a sudden, out of nowhere, Blake Lively disappears, and on her blog, Anna Kendrick starts to do sort of a Mrs. Marple's kind of detective thing and tries to solve this mystery. And I know it takes, I have to
don't
tell
give,
you,
don't give away, but
it,
I know
it's really, really funny. Like every line is laugh out loud funny.
But is it like, is it a good mystery? Is it
yeah,
like
it's a good mystery. There's
kind of
there's very Hitchcockian, but a comedy. It's almost a new genre that I think director Paul Feig did that sort of
did
defined,
he direct this?
Yeah, he's like generally does the Melissa McCarthy stuff. This is gives a kind of a new direction to how a mystery can happen, and it's so funny. It's like it has a ton of stuff in the last 10 minutes that piles on a lot of new plot twists that are kind of annoying, but other than that, it's one of my favorite movies, one of my favorite surprises. It probably won't be on my 10 best okay. list, but it's in theaters right now, and I'm telling you, if you think it's a chick flick or you think anything, like, put all of those aside, go see this. It's really good.
What kind of watch does Anna Kendrick wear?
Yeah,
I don't know. I don't think she's fun. She's very fashionable these days, though. My daughter follows her on Instagram, and she's really into fashion these days. I don't know if she's aligned with a watch or a jewelry company.
Is Blake Lively wearing anything on her?
She dresses her. She, you know, she's famous in Hollywood for dressing herself. She does not have a stylist, so that's one of her kind of
so hallmarks. If you're a big celebrity, okay,
yeah,
can you do these watch companies just give you the watches?
No, they
to
let
wear them on, like,
no, well, they do for like Gwyneth Paltrow for Frederic Constant, or like
if you're a brand ambassador for one of the companies, sure, they will probably write into your
Pierce
contract.
Pierce Brosnan was Omega very famously,
but
for
like
many years.
My friend Desiree, who handles all the jewels for Chopard, she goes from film festival to event, and whether it's Rihanna or Kate Blanchett or whomever, they come into a suite. They get to pick the jewels that they were...
Gifting suite?
No, it's not a gifting suite. It is a lending suite. So here's your $10 million worth of diamonds or emeralds or what have you. And they get to wear it for the evening or the event or the film screening. And then the very next morning, it gets... It's kind of like Cinderella.
Who's the star that keeps like going, oh, I had that yesterday, but
it's like... There are a couple. Well, Sarah Jessica Parker just got... There was a company she was in business with, and she borrowed some jewels and conveniently never returned them. And that was on Page Six, actually, this week.
So
and she says
true.
That was part of my deal.
You know,
so
there's
it's...
Bill brought up the movie, which we both love, Funny People, earlier. And there's a great line that Adam Sandler has in that movie where he opens up this garage door, and there's all this stuff in there, like a jet ski and all of these.
Right.
I mean, you know, watches, and there's a ton of stuff.
He tells...
And he says... You know, when I was poor, I could afford all this stuff. Now I don't need this stuff. When I was poor, I couldn't afford anything. Now they just give it to me. Like,
not rich, they give me this all. Right, this. Right, so right. He wants to have a yard sale. He tells...
But it, what's great is like, yeah, it's like when I need, when I would have loved this stuff and I didn't have 10 cents to my name, they were, I couldn't buy
right.
it. Nobody. Now that I, right. that I can buy, you know, it's like 10 cents.
Well, Neil, you know that. There isn't a restaurant in this city that won't give you a free meal, obviously.
That's very funny, Bill. I wish.
Well, that's kind of like the show Episodes, which is a show that
episodes.
I love it. And every time
Matt LeBlanc.
Matt wanted to bribe one of the writers, he would go to a gifting right. suite with her, and he said, you can fill up your bag with anything. And yeah. she was
That was a great show.
Yeah, it was brilliant.
It was one of the creators of Friends, actually, was the creator. I think it was David Crane.
Kaufman. I think the both
No,
were
Marta
on.
Kaufman had nothing to do with that.
Okay,
I think
wrong.
Marta Kaufman's doing that Jane Fonda show. Or she's doing something. But
Grace and Frankie?
I think she's
Frankie
doing
and Grace.
Grace.
Yeah. One or the other.
But this was David Crane, and the writing on that, I mean, it's you could find it on Showtime, probably on demand, and you could...
I think we've talked about episodes. As a matter of fact, I know for a fact Netflix picked up Episodes.
Yeah, it's
oh,
great.
Good.
Yeah, it's,
good.
It's
Matt LeBlanc
brilliant.
Plays... himself. He plays Matt LeBlanc, but a kind of a really...
He fucks everybody,
yeah,
which
kind
is
of,
so
oh
great.
Oh, my God, everything.
But he kind of
fucks
like Larry David is like a... Or Jerry Seinfeld.
Yeah, but he's
Jerry.
Larry
I mean,
David, but
like
good looking.
Henry Miller in Tropic Capricorn. It's not real... It's him, but it's not him.
So...
It's fun.
For all you Walking Dead fans out there, Walking Dead comes back in early October. I think October 6th or the 9th. Whatever one of those 2 days is, a Sunday. I have seen the first 3 episodes of the new season. And I have seen every episode of every season of Walking Dead, so I am going to tell you what I think.
What season
it is.
Are we up to now? Do you even know?
I think it's either 9
4?
Or 10.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's been on for a while.
Jesus.
And this is the last season of Andrew Lincoln, the star of the show, who plays Rick James, and he's leaving. It's been announced. It's on the trail. It's on the AMC, which is the network that runs it. It says,
right.
"The Rick."
One's going to sue you. Calm down,
Andrew Lincoln. The final episodes. You know, he's probably going to write him out. He's probably going to die somehow. I mean, lots of characters have died in the show.
Somehow in The Walking Dead, how would you imagine that's going to happen?
Well, I just read yesterday that he's coming back now as a director. He can't leave this thing behind. He's going to direct an episode in the following season. But his character's done. And the one who plays Lauren Cohan, who plays Maggie, they're not announcing, because I went to, she's in this ABC show that's coming up. She can't be in two places.
Let me stop for a second. Just go around the room and see if anybody gives a shit. Do you watch Walking Dead, Aaron?
Well, I thought it was a movie or a TV show about your sex life, and when I found out it wasn't,
Bill, do you watch Walking Dead?
No, absolutely.
Well, to
okay,
the
so
that are listening, that
no, I know
about
it has
Walking
a huge
Dead.
Following. I just want to establish that none of us know what you're talking about.
It's one of the highest rated shows,
which is normal with this podcast, but in this case,
it's the highest rated show on AMC.
I know, I know.
The highest rated shows on. Well, so. Unlike the people in the room who don't care about what I'm talking about, I will talk to you, the fans of Walking Dead, who watch the show. At the end of last season, if you remember correctly, Negan, they were fighting the Saviors, and they took out Negan. They didn't kill Negan.
I know, that was crazy, right?
But he is no longer, the Saviors and Negan were no longer a threat. So as the new season opens, Negan is still alive because Rick didn't kill him. And he's sitting in a jail cell that they built for him. And I have to tell you, without Negan and without the governor, who was another villain that they wrote out of the series.
I know, right?
I didn't see that coming, by the way.
It's lacking.
This is, you're a huge fan and you're like disappointed.
I'm just saying that the... Negan was
the walking doll.
Jeffrey Dean Morgan, who played Negan,
right.
was such an unbelievably written.
Oh, that's who Negan was? That guy?
Yeah, and he was such a it was a great, the character was written so well, and the performance was so good that you couldn't take your eyes off this guy. He was like the villain that you love to hate.
Well, now you have to, because he's not there.
Well, he's there. He's just in a jail cell, but he's no longer a threat.
He wants to direct, Neil.
So now they're trying to create
tension
amongst the Saviors, who are now... Rick is building a new blueprint to build a whole world incorporating all the different
I can't wait. How have I missed
people,
this?
The Alexandria people, the Oceanside people. If you watch the show, you know what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
The Saviors are not gravitating to it that well. Right. But it's not really that exciting to me now that Negan is no longer the catalyst and you know, in the show, and maybe it'll get a little better. I'm not saying it's terrible.
So you just saved the three of us 9 seasons.
Exactly.
Is that basically what you're saying?
The last 2 seasons, okay. Not the present season. And thank you for listening to all you Walking Dead fans, and for the ones who don't like The Walking Dead and have been listening through this, I will switch the subject now.
No. I respect that. It has a huge following.
I
was just saying the three of us don't.
On every other line that I was saying.
Right. But that's my job.
Because you don't watch the show, but. It's a good show, and we'll see where it goes. I was just a little bored with the first 3 episodes.
Okay, all right. Well, hey, let that be a warning to them to amp it up a little for Neil Rosen.
There you go. There you go. So what's coming out on demand, Bill McCuddy, or on digital?
I have no idea. What have I been watching recently? What have you been watching, Bill?
Well, actually...
there's a Jane Fonda.
Didn't
we talk about that last week?
On
demand, but on DVD is actually one of the things you've got a DVD of today. The National Geographic.
Oh yeah, I went to
that.
That
goes wider
this
week.
Thank you.
Science Fair goes wider.
Well, Science Fair is amazing, and I'm on. They quote me on the ad, which is lovely of them. But
bragging.
National Geographic also has another thing that I went to the premiere of the other night called Free Solo. Now, Free Solo is from the same people that did Maru. Jimmy Chin and his girlfriend, I think, is the director. These are people that literally walk the walk up the mountain. Like, these are the filmmakers that go with the stars of the film and climb the mountain. So Free Solo is a term that means you don't use any ropes. You go, you look at in this case, Yosemite. They go to Yosemite and they look at this.
Oh, that sounds safe.
They look at this wall of a mountain, and this guy, I'm sorry to say I don't remember his name. I can look it up on the thing.
That's okay.
He's this crazy kid who just says, I got to climb that. And as I said, Free Solo means you don't use any safety devices. So they do a bunch of dry runs with the safety devices, and sure enough, every time he's supposed to jump from one cliff to another, he falls. But he's got the ropes on. So they're all in the makers of this movie through the whole movie are going, we might be making a snuff film here, basically. If we follow this guy and he dies, what are we going to do? So sure, I'm not going to give too much away, but he makes one run up the mountain. If you remember Maru was like these people who were trying to climb this.
They put those tents up in Maru
India. It literally climbed. It took them like a week or
but
two
they would
to
build
climb
the
it up.
Tents
yeah,
on
no,
the
this,
thing.
But Yosemite in this Free Solo is a one day thing. You're going to go zippity doo dah up the top, and you're going to get to the top, or you're not going to make it. So
without rope.
He gets without rope. So he gets a third of the way up. This is kind of a spoiler, but he gets a third of the way. I don't give a shit. Go see the movie anyway. He gets a third of the way up this one time, and he goes, you know what? He looks at the cameras, and he goes, I can't do this with the cameras. I can't do it. So then the filmmakers start to look at the camera and go, maybe we don't have a movie here. Maybe this guy,
so let me get this,
if we're responsible.
The filmmakers are on ropes.
Yes.
So he's without ropes, and
right.
They're comfortably probably on some whole hydraulic thing.
No, they're not. It's dangerous for them too, although they're on ropes. But this guy at 4 a.m, and that's the other thing. You never know when it's going to strike him to want to do this. He's been training for it, but unlike the New York Marathon where you have to go when they tell you it's a marathon, this guy can decide at the snap of a finger if he's going to run up this mountain that day. So they're watching him every day, and they're like, is he going to do it today? Is he going to do it? And one day at 4 a.m, he starts climbing up, and so they come scampering after him, and they watch him, and he gets a third of the way up, and he just turns to them, and he goes, I can't do it today. You guys are watching me. So then, as I said, the filmmakers, like, take him down, and they go, look, if we're going to fuck this up, if we're going to be responsible for you dying, we'll stop making the movie right now. We'll just pack up and go away. And he says, maybe I can do it. Maybe I can't. So then there's a little.
What is not?
It's not artificial. Maybe he won't go up the mountain if he thinks he's going to die.
No,
he's not going to do
it.
I
thought it was the camera thing you were saying.
No. The camera people are ready to shoot him if he wants to.
He can't do this in front of camera.
Right. So he comes back down and he says, "No, I know all you guys. I've been climbing with all of you people because the camera people are people he's known his whole climbing life." And he goes, "Okay." So he says, "Maybe I can do it." So then one day. And I'm not going to give it away. He decides to go up. And literally, Neil, Bill, Sig, we've watched this movie and we've watched him try to do this one or two things. So they watch, they take like a GPS of the mountainside every like 5 minutes of the movie and go, he got here, he got there, he can't do it here, he can't jump over there. There's places where it's just almost physically impossible for you to do it. And he says at this one point, I don't think I can do the karate kick. It's literally a karate kick from where he is over to this other little patch where his toe and his thumb are the only thing holding him up there. Yeah, it's pretty crazy. And
so sounds intense, but I do have one
like
question.
It?
Bring a Xanax
did
is all
like
I'm
it?
Saying. Loved the movie. Loved it.
How do you watch a DVD these days? I mean, I'm just... What's released on DVD?
It's funny you ask that because, no, that's a good question.
I mean, seriously, what? I mean, what computer?
This is the only way that Academy voters and that BFCA members, which we're members of, can literally, without a link, watch anything. And everybody.
But you can download that stuff.
My daughter, everybody goes.
Well, here's the thing.
Yeah.
Here's my take on it. As Bill just told you, they send us all the movies for the year so we could vote on DVD. Why they don't send them on links is because I think that the quality, they want to show this off in the best light possible. And if you watch things on
links, want you to go to the movie theater.
Right.
And what they've done in the last few years
if you're watching links, the quality isn't as good. It freezes up. A lot of people, you know, at least if you put it on a DVD player.
Neil, the real answer is most Academy members have no idea how to watch a link.
Well,
so that's real
true.
Answer.
That's true.
Seriously.
But all members do.
Right. The BFCA members do.
I've
But most Academy 95-year-old members still have a DVD. To answer Aaron's question,
right.
Most of them still have a DVD player.
Yeah, but
that's
the
amazing.
Thing is, if you sent a link.
And they most have VHS players.
Okay. I have a way, and Bill has a way. I believe you have a way. You have a way, right, of sending it instead of watching it on your computer screen, to watch it on your television
Yeah,
screen.
But now you're asking
Right.
So that's people. Just Apple, that's Apple TV.
And or Google,
that's how I watched.
Or Google Fire. There's a lot of ways right. to do it. Right, Apple TV. But the point is that they can't count on most people that if they're clicking on the link, that they're even going to be able to watch it on anything other than their laptop screen as opposed to their big widescreen television. Plus, if you send the link, there's a big piracy. You know, we get these DVDs and there's like 3 minutes of warnings. You know, you got to accept the terms.
I stopped selling them to Hong Kong because
you can't.
I started to believe it.
You know, the FBI warnings, and you can't send this to anybody, and you got to destroy it. There's all this stuff. If you send a link, like if there's a big blockbuster movie that they think is going to get awards, and they're sending you a link to that movie, there is a much greater chance that that thing could be pirated. And it's also more, it's tougher for these Oscar voters and our group to like, you know, sometimes, you know, you got to register on the site and then you get a passcode and the passcode doesn't work. How many times do we get links to things and you're calling up the helpline? Well, it's still not working, blah, blah, blah. At least with the DVD.
I've never done that. Is that happening to you?
Yeah, you've done that. If you've got the DVD player, which most of our membership and the Academy membership, they have them for this reason.
Right.
You just stick the disc in and it works as opposed to like, it's not working. The link's not working. I don't know. I watched 20 minutes. It freezed. Bill and I, you know, on the television show, used to do on-demand movies, and they would send us links. And I don't know. It started freezing up after 10 minutes. Can you tell me what?
Do you guys ever cover what comes out on iTunes?
All the time. By the way, this podcast is heard on iTunes.
There you go. Yeah, I just saw Solo, the Star Wars movie, on iTunes. I didn't get to see it in theaters.
Did you like it?
And I loved it. It's very dark.
I think that's a maligned movie. You know, they said that it was they're going to slow down making Star Wars films now because of the fact that the Star Wars didn't make the money that they
It made $365 million.
It still made
and that was
money.
A disappointment or whatever.
$1 billion that the other one made. And, you know, so subsequently people go, yeah, it wasn't a good movie. But you go back and read the reviews of that particular movie and you listen to our podcast on that movie, it's a pretty good movie.
I got
to
tell you, if you...
What's the guy's name who played the young... not
oh, old, God.
Aaron.
Yes, thank you.
He was good.
He was great.
You know,
I like the character. You know, Rogue
I wish
One,
the Baby Driver guy had played him instead.
How he met Chewbacca is kind of
Ansel Elgort,
you know?
Yeah, Chewbacca has a great role in... You know, Rogue One and Solo have taken a darker turn. So if you're a classic Star Wars fan, I think it's tougher to swallow. But
all the shit with what's his name was funny? With Mark
Hamill.
I thought he was great. All that was cool.
He wasn't in the Solo.
But he wasn't in... Yeah.
Right, but originally they fired the directors from that movie. They were two comedy directors. I forgot what they did, but
Chris Miller and Chris Lloyd.
That's right.
They did the Lego movies.
Right. So
and they wanted to make it more like Galaxies of the.
Yeah, they wanted it to be like a funny thing. And,
right.
Guardians of the Galaxy.
Got rid of
by the way, there's still plenty of comedy in Solo. And almost too much,
yeah,
I thought.
And they brought Ron Howard in, and you know,
which is a safe bet. Talented, but
I like the film.
He backed the station wagon into the driveway.
Oh,
I liked it. You know,
yeah, no, I did too.
And so you know,
see, aren't we glad Aaron's here? He piped in with a good thing.
Yes. Sure, why not?
Yes,
so,
iTunes.
But you know, there are no. I think there's one. I heard if it still exists. A few months ago, there was one Blockbuster store, like they closed the Blockbuster store, and they said there was now one remaining Blockbuster video store left in the country,
like Tower
like
Records.
That. There was one left. Now, this was a couple of months ago. I don't know if it's still left anymore.
Well, if you watch the Captain,
to answer your question, I don't think where do you buy DVDs? I think you get them on. I think you go to Amazon online if you want something, or Best Buy has a section that has.
Not
DVDs.
Anymore. They're actually.
Are they facing
Wait a minute,
out?
Criterion. Oh, yeah. Criterion still releases. Ron Howard's calling now. He's complaining. Exactly. Criterion still does 4K.
Sure.
But where do you buy this stuff? Is what I'm saying. You're telling me Bill Bergoli.
Actually, I may be wrong. They're getting rid of CDs.
Mm. Oh, CDs.
Yeah.
Well, nobody's listening to that. You know, or not nobody. I mean,
well,
nobody under the age of 40 is buying CDs. I'll tell you that much. You know, but. DVDs are still around. I think that you can get them online. I mean, you go to Amazon or Because this well,
eBay. Netflix, doesn't Netflix eBay. Still send you DVDs if you're a subscriber?
No, I don't think so.
I think so.
Yeah,
I
still can.
Yeah, I think you can still get DVDs on Netflix.
Still making, look, they're still making them. I still get the press releases on all the movies that we talk about. It's I get these announcements coming out on DVD. There's also
they
coming
don't,
out on DVD.
Neil, let's be honest. They don't send you the new press releases anymore, do they?
They send me the releases. Yeah. But, yeah, so they're still making the DVDs.
Yeah.
I don't know who are people. And they would not be making them. Because it's costly to manufacture this stuff.
Yes.
So
I like that
they
you're concerned.
Be making this stuff if nobody was buying them. I mean, somebody they stopped
is.
Making VHS cassettes.
Right.
Because nobody was buying VHS cassettes.
Bill still has a whole closet
wait,
full
I can't,
of beta.
I can't buy laser discs anymore?
Exactly. You can buy... Do you remember the CE... Was it CES or CED?
No, DivX. Remember DivX?
There was a CES format, and I used to write the liner notes to the back of the movies... it was RCA.
Birth of a Nation, the original one?
RCA put them out. And it was
Gone
two
with the Wind?
It was the laser disc, and there was the CES disc.
I'll never forget Roger Ebert at the Independent Spirit Awards when he was alive, God rest his soul, told me, I guarantee you there will always be laser discs because the quality is better and it holds,
you know who
more,
told me that?
It holds more information than any DVD can and blah, 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 blah,
blah. Do you remember George Panos Cosmatos? He was a director back in the 80s. He did Rambo 2 and he did a couple of different films. Anyway, I worked for him for a brief while in Hollywood and he had a massive, massive collection of laser discs and he swore by them. He said it's the best medium that has
well,
ever
how
been
much,
to...
How much
they're like
better.
LPs. They were huge, remember?
Oh yeah,
so
they were enormous.
So when Roger Ebert was not probably around to see, or maybe he was to see, Blu-ray DVD discs. But I'm sure that's the same quality as the, or if not better, than the Laserdisc.
Maybe.
He was convinced at the time that the Laserdisc, I remember him saying, can hold more information than any other smaller format could possibly ever
well,
hold.
Yeah, but technology
so
is
that was,
so
that
far.
That was what he was
right.
saying.
The CES disc, if I'm getting this correctly, which was made by RCA, was actually like a vinyl record. And it came in a case.
Yeah,
and you
yeah,
have
yeah.
to put the case in a machine. And once
right.
you put the case
oh, that
in
was
machine,
the CES thing. Right, right,
the,
right.
The and it looked like a black vinyl, you know.
Right, talking LP, to the mic, talking to
like
the mic.
Like a black vinyl LP record. And it would slide out of the thing in the machine. And there was
right.
a tone arm,
right.
basically, that
right.
would play this.
Magnavox made that.
And that didn't really go anywhere. And it was, you know, and then, of course, Laserdisc was replaced. But the Laserdisc movies... If you wanted to see Taxi Driver, it wasn't on one big platter disc, which
was
also a Susan LP.
Yeah.
Right, it was like five.
Yeah.
Right. And it was the end of part one or something. And then you had to
get VHS
up
and Betamax. Betamax was 60 minutes. You had to change the. By the way, for anyone under 40 still listening, yeah, bless you. Thank you. Thank you for
well,
being here.
A long movie like Gone with the Wind was on two VHS cassettes,
yeah.
and you'd have to switch the thing. And but now, so to go back to this whole thing,
yeah.
are just. People that are unbelievable fans of a specific movie, you know, cinephiles, movie buffs, keeping their DVD player and buying, I have to get the director's commentary on Sunset Boulevard and all those extras in the...
See, but iTunes has all that.
Yeah, it'll all be...
If
it's not all being streamed now, it'll all be streamed eventually.
So are DVDs going to go away?
Yes. Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, eventually they will.
But they're still making them. The studios are still making them.
For those of you who don't have video, obviously you can't see this. Neil just had a tear roll down his eye. Like the Indian in the public service announcement when people threw shit on the highway.
Once in a blue moon, other than those screeners that we get, those Academy screeners,
right.
once in a blue moon I'll pop a DVD in. But generally speaking, it's really rare. I mean, but... We do get this big, it's like, you know, Christmas in November, you know, October, November, and early December, when we get all the movie releases pretty much from the year that are that they think are Oscar-worthy, and some that they think are, they know are not Oscar-worthy, but they go, for your consideration, and they'll send you, like, Girl
Stallone,
Trip. Literally.
Right,
they'll
right.
send you Girl
yeah,
Trip, but they'll say,
yeah.
for Best Picture, you know what I mean? Or,
right.
Right, you know.
That could have got a screenplay nomination. That actually could have.
Well, all right, so that was a bad example, but we've gotten really shitty movies that, like...
Some of it's probably contractual.
It is contractual.
That are like,
we've talked about this before.
For your consideration. You know, Best Picture,
definitely the For Your Consideration ads in Variety and Hollywood Reporter, we've talked about this in years past, are 100% contractual.
Yeah, but some of these movies, it's like, are you kidding?
Well, Sylvester Stallone for Creed 2. Come on, that's in his contract.
Yeah, well, he did get an Oscar nomination for Creed 1, so that's not that crazy.
All right.
But, I mean, I'm talking about movies like, you know, For Your Consideration, Best Picture,
Coyote Ugly.
There you go. Stuff that's just like you gotta let, you get it and you laugh out loud that they went to the trouble of sending this screener for awards consideration of a movie that you'll know will never get like go anywhere near getting an award for anything. You know,
they make lovely stocking stuffers.
They do.
Well.
Well, listen, what a wonderful...
So next week...
What's happening next week? We're going away.
We're going to the Hampton Film Festival.
We're going to be hitting the road as we do every year
at the Hampton Film Festival, which is next weekend, so you won't have a fresh podcast next week, but we'll
By the way, though, I did reach out to my buddy Alan Zweibel, and I watched Love Gilda last
night. Who is an original writer...
On the original Saturday, first
few years of Saturday Night Live.
And I'm going to say, and I will say this when he joins us in 2 weeks as a guest, not since Joe DiMaggio laying a rose at Marilyn Monroe's grave every year, has anyone carried a torch more for...
Not since George Burns gave Gracie Allen.
Okay.
Not since...
Well, all right. Well, what I'm saying is Zweibel was a huge fan of Gilda, and they worked together on Saturday Night Live. This documentary, which is on demand right now, called Love Gilda, that he's one of the executive producers of, is really, really worth seeing. And we will talk to him more about that. He has a new book about her. And
he wrote Bunny Bunny. And Lisa Rossman wants to join us. She's a big fan of Alan Zweibel, wants to join us.
Yeah, so she'll come out, get off her high horse and come and be on the podcast.
That's right. She will crawl out of the woodwork and come join us.
In the meantime, how can we follow Aaron Sigman on...
Instagram, Aaron Sigman Books. It's short,
snappy,
and easy. They
still making Timex watches, Aaron.
That's it. Yeah, absolutely. Big collector.
Do they still make them?
Sure, of course.
It takes a licking and keeps on ticking.
Yeah, I don't think they use that tagline anymore, but I think that goes with the laser
discs. No, that's
discs.
The Kardashian tagline.
Right. Oh, wow.
Oh, boy.
So there was that, ladies and gentlemen.
Hey, before we go, I'm just curious.
This one last thing that Neil says is brought to you by LaCroix.
Do they make Bulova watches?
Yeah, as a matter of fact, I just came out with a book on Bulova watches, so indeed they do.
Nice tie-in, and you didn't even know that.
Yeah, no, I don't. I just came out with a book.
Believe me, anything
Bulova
he does intelligent is always an accident.
Exactly. Bulova, I mean, I'm talking about the inexpensive, you know.
They make inexpensive ones and expensive ones.
You know what's coming back? The Accutron.
That's right.
Wow.
Remember the tuning fork in a watch? Do you remember that? It was probably not the first, but one of the earliest skeleton watches where you could actually see the works inside.
The first,
and it had a tuning fork.
And without getting watch geeky. And
too late for that.
Yeah, they're talking about bringing that back. So
you like the Apple Watch there, Aaron?
Yeah, I do.
Do you really?
Yeah, sure. I think there's.
You know, what are you wearing right now?
For a guy who's not wearing a watch, you're asking an awful lot of questions. Right.
Well, I'm interested in lots of things. You know,
he passed by Tourneau on the way here. So
sure, that's up to
him. He's got a very short attention span.
Who's not listening?
If he'd walked by McDonald's, we'd be talking about Ronald McDonald for an hour. What kind of watch are you wearing right now, Aaron?
This is a Blancpain 50 Fathoms. It's a very famous. It was the first modern,
he's got
first
watch
modern dive watch, 1953.
Yeah. So watch for the movie.
The watch for the movie.
The book.
Sea Time, Bulova.
Deep Sea or Sea Thing or whatever.
Sea Time.
There you go.
And that's for Father's Day.
Thanks for the
plug. So next week we're coming to you. It'll be on probably Monday or Tuesday the following week from the Hampton Film Festival, where lots of movies that
first
we'll probably
man.
Get. Yeah, lots of stuff. And we're going to talk about those. And we'll be talking to a lot of directors and actors and that have, you know, filmmakers.
Documentarians.
People know who's at a film festival, but thank you for that.
There
update.
You go. Okay. Well, that's sweet. So
stars, celebrities. Well, we will have cinematic luminaries.
Yes, okay. Yes.
Yes, we have many people.
Nice.
We have many people.
We don't know what they're called.
All right. So thanks for joining us,
Thank
Aaron.
You for having me. Appreciate
and
it.
For Bill Bregoli.
That would be me.
Bill kind of monopolizes the conversation.
I'd
like somebody to find Bill on Facebook and him to just come in and say, like, you know, a couple of people heard the podcast. I have some new people that are friends of.
I have a neighbor who actually listens.
What's that?
I have a neighbor who listens. Maybe I'll bring him in someday.
Bill's like Hitchcock. He appears once in the podcast.
And Bill McCuddy. You can reach Bill McCuddy. At
Bill McCuddy.
Bill McCuddy
on Twitter.
You can reach me, Neil Rosen, at Neil Rosen Apples, and we will. Thanks for sitting around. We'll see you soon. We'll see you soon. It's a podcast. We'll be speaking to you soon. Thanks for sitting around talking movies
with
us.
Just learned
it's
a podcast.
Talking movies with you next time.